your glory. Amen. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you, worship team. Daniel chapter 10, please open. As Pastor Casey will be here next week, we won't finish 11 and 12 until another two Sundays. Chapter 10, 11 and 12 is actually one piece together in the book of Daniel. It's about the one vision. And here Daniel is praying. The title of this morning's message is, I Choose to Fight. You think, how can that be in a Christian church? I thought we would have turned the other cheek. Yes, Jesus does tell us to turn the other cheek. But we're told to fight spiritual battles. I want to ask you a couple of questions, rhetorically. Remember, if my mum was here, I cannot ask questions, because if she, the occasions when she would visit, she would actually answer them from the front rows. So I had to be careful. What happens when we pray? What actually happens? So you're alone with God and you pray and you ask God about something or someone. And do our prayers just go into space? Do our words just go like off somewhere? Like atheists, I've heard, now have a dial a prayer. You actually get a number and the atheist can ring it, just that no one answers the phone on the other end. Does God hear our prayers? Maybe you're sitting here today and thinking, well, I'm praying and praying and praying, and I don't think he's heard my prayer. Does God hear our prayers? When he hears our prayers, when does he answer them? Does he just like take his time? He's on a long weekend. He's at Easter. He's busy over Easter. I mean, he's been busy around the world. It's Easter. Comes but once a year, and he's very tired now, so over the next fortnight he's having a bit of a break, a sabbatical. Prayers are on hold. He's heard them. He'll get back to you. Is there any hold up with them? Like when we pray and God answers, you know, can he not get it in the right letterbox? Do we not get it in our inbox? Does it go to the wrong place? Oh, I thought you we're praying about, I sent that. That should have gone over there. It's the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia's rule. Daniel is 90 years old. And Daniel is mourning. He's actually burdened. He's troubled. I go through times like that. I don't know about you, but I think we all do as we unwrap chapter 10, you'll find out that there's our world today in which we see and things and tangible, we can touch and we see you and hear you. But there is another world, another spiritual dimension. If you've ever seen certain crimes occurred and you could go, how could that person do that? Because there's evil in our world. And there is a spiritual world. The police have to deal with situations when they'll knock on someone's door and there's evil. Now they're there in a tangible, physical way for the breaking of the law or a complaint. And they turn up and they're in a spiritual battle, but they're just with tasers and other means of force and protection. Yet many times the things that they face are spiritual conflicts. You and I live in a time and a period and in a world that there's us, but that there's another, there's other identities. There's angels serving the Lord, and then there are fallen angels. And they're here today. Paul tells us that in his letter to Corinth, that there are angels watching over us. We have an angel assigned to us, I believe. There are angels watching over us, but there are also other angels here to bring distraction, to cause you to think about something else, to have thoughts go through your mind as you're worshiping the Lord and go, where did that come from? And we're in a battle. Daniel is mourning. There are times in your life you think, why am I troubled? Why am I feeling melancholy? What's up with me? Well, there are forces in action against you and for you. Because you are not just a physical person that dies and decays and then just goes to the dust of the earth, and that's the end of you, and you're annihilated. I remember the first deceased person I ever saw, now I've seen sadly many, 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 was my father. I'd been away preaching in Albany, and I received a phone call that my father had died. So now he's at Charles Gardner, that's where the morgue is, so I went with my brothers, because you have this emotion in you that you want to see them. But when I saw my father for the first time after his deceased, it didn't look like him. It was just a case, a shell. The thing that his spirit had moved and spoken in and through, and his eyes a twinkle, it wasn't. And that was quite a striking thing that I sensed that first time. And the reality of who we really are, which is why I encourage you, if you ever visit someone in hospital and they're in a coma, they can't talk, they're still there. Talk to them. Read them the Bible. Pray for them. Minister to them. It's just that their body is broken and they can't communicate back to you. If you ever saw a movie called Awakenings, starring Robert Williams and Robert De Niro, it was a true story of how people were trapped in their bodies. They're there and they just can't communicate because this had broken down. We are unique beings created in the image of God, and we have a spirit, we have a soul. And so Daniel's soul is troubled. He's burdened. So much so, and he's 90. He's fasting and praying. Now, we know he's a man of prayer. We've read about that. But he's really super serious about this time of prayer. He needs an answer. So he says, I've set aside what I normally would eat. He's still eating and drinking some. So it's a partial fast. But he's fasting. He needs an answer because his soul is troubled. Maybe you're here today and you're troubled in your soul. The answer is not in the tablet. The answer, now let me just qualify that. I'm on tablets now because of a physical condition that I went through. And I take them. And we pray for doctors and nurses and staff and everyone else because God uses them. He equips them and gifts them. But in our spiritual battles, The answer is found in the Lord. This is a spiritual battle. Daniel needs an answer. And so he's not only praying as he normally does, he's fasting and praying. He's set aside just to consume himself. And for 3 weeks so far, Daniel has been seeking, praying, and fasting, and it's been a battle for him spiritually. What was all this about for Daniel? Why was he troubled? We'll read it shortly. Daniel was fasting and praying because 2 years had now passed since the 70-year period of exile that God had put the children of Israel in Babylon, and they are now free to go home. Cyrus, the Persian ruler, had issued a decree. It's found in the book of Nehemiah, permitting the Israelites now to return home safely. But out of all the 12 tribes that had been captured and taken to Babylon, only 49,697 of them had returned, Ezra tells us in chapter 2. And to Daniel, this was heartbreaking. So much so that he's overwhelmed. Why don't people want to go back? I mean, Israel and Jerusalem, is this just not like a bit of dirt? It's the promised land. It's the home of the chosen people of God. And yet the people of God now, they've come out of Babylon. They've kind of settled into the Babylonian lifestyle. Well, I got businesses. I got, you know, I got a taxi business, a chariot business. And I mean, we run this store, my wife and I, and the kids have settled into the schools here. And oh, we're not going back to Israel. When you make decisions about where you're going to live and where you're going to send your kids to school, I pray that you pray about it and that it's not based on the world standard of values. I pray that your decisions are based on what does God say about this matter? What is God's value in this case? But there was a second reason for Daniel's grief. Because those who had returned home, that 49,697, when they'd gone home to Jerusalem, they were struggling now because there was great opposition. And you can read that in Nehemiah, to those who'd got home. So much so that the people now residing in Israel, in Jerusalem, who were in opposition to the Jews returning home, had even written a letter to the king saying, well, these people that are returning home, they're just going to rebel against you, king. They're not going to pay their taxes. They're going to cause you problems. Ezra chapter 4 tells us that. So Daniel decided to fast and pray. Let's read verses 1 to 3. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar. Remember, that was the name he'd been given by Nebuchadnezzar. The message was true, but the appointed time was long. In other words, the vision, the prophecy, is going to be for Daniel's time in years to come, and then in latter years, even beyond our years. And he understood the message and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3-4 weeks. I ate no pleasant foods. No meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Daniel denied himself pleasant, that is, desirable things. He was just eating what he needed, just basics. Drinking water, just what he needed. You see, self-denial or denial of self is what Jesus spoke of as being a requisite for being his disciple. He says, any man wants to follow me, let him deny himself, take up the cross, and then follow me. You see, what happens when you become a Christian is it's about denying yourself. In a marriage, it's about a husband denying his old single ways. It's about a wife denying her old single ways, and now they live for each other. When you become a parent, it's about denying yourself. Well, it's my time, free time, my time. No, now you're a parent, you deny yourself, and you look after your children. But in Christianity, when you find Christ, it's about you now denying who you were once before you found the cross of Christ and his forgiveness. Now you're born again, and now you denying your old ways, and now you live to the new ways. Is there someone you love, you care for this morning, that you're burdened for, that you see is perhaps like the children of Israel? They're not moving on in God, they're stale. They're not heeding God's call upon their lives. Perhaps they're going to church regularly, but really there's nothing happening. They never read their Bible. They never pray. Yeah, they turn up. But they're just going through the motions without emotion. That's what happens when a marriage falls apart. You get two single people living in the same home, sometimes sleeping in the same bed, eating at the same table. You see it now when you go out to restaurants. You can go somewhere, you see two people sit down. Out will come their phones. They'll not say one word. Maybe have a meal. Not speak to one another. I see it with mums now. And they'll get their kids and they'll buy them all the food at McDonald's or somewhere. They'll get all the kids eating. And they'll spend their whole time Facebooking, texting. They're not looking after the kids. Not speaking a word. Not speaking a word. You see, sometimes people live their Christian life like that. You never talk to God except when something goes bad and you, wow, siren's on. Got my battle fatigues on again. Better get that Bible out and flick through a page somewhere. Or maybe you're here today and you're struggling against adversity. The enemy is raising attack after attack against you. And you're resisting them, the attacks of the enemy. And the conflict is great and you're trying to serve the Lord, but you can't seem to get, as we say in surfing terms, clean water. So when you're out paddling, you're trying to get some clean water and you're stuck in the rip all the time. You've got to keep moving all the time. You want to get into some clean water. Maybe you're like Daniel, you're troubled this morning and you're mourning over those ones. God wants you to know this morning that He has allowed you to have a burden for your soul to be troubled as He did with Daniel. For this to shadow your heart. Why? Because He wants you to pray. You're the tool. You're the means by which He wants to bring this battle a victory. In verse 3, because of the sadness of Daniel's heart, Daniel did not anoint himself as was the custom. Now watch what happens, verse 4. Now on the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, that is the Tigris, I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with gold of Uphaz. His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like torches of fire, his arms and feet like burnished bronze in color, and the sound of his words like the voice of a multitude. Now an angel of the Lord, now some people say this is a Christophany, that is the Lord appearing. My opinion is that it's not, but it doesn't matter. But it's a messenger from God. And he appears. Why is the detail here in verse 4 of it's the 24th day of the first month by the river, the Tigris? Why is this written in here? Because the time and the graphical location are given. Why? Because this actually happened. This is not, I want to tell you a story about a man who lived in a far, far, far away land. This actually happened. These events are real. The time was during the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. A messenger of God appears to him in his time of prayer and fasting. Let's read verse 7. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men who were with me, so he had people, accomplices with him, who did not see the vision, but a great terror fell upon them, so that they ran to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone when I saw this great vision, and no strength remained in me, for my vigor was turned to frailty in me, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard the sound of this man's voice, this messenger, while I heard the sound of his words. I was in deep sleep on my face, on the ground, with my face to the ground. Those with Daniel, maybe some had been praying with him, they took off. They said, wow, we can't handle this. We're out of here. This is frightening. Daniel is left alone. There are many times in your life when you're going to conflicts that God just wants you and you alone to be praying for this situation. You know, many times people, yeah, you know, we are to pray one for another and things like that. But there are times, a great many times, that God wants you alone with Him in your prayer closet. Matthew's gospel tells us that. You see, only the man or woman whose heart is hungry for God can receive revelations from God. But Keith, you know, God will never speak to me, you know, because I'm just an ordinary person. I'm not Daniel the prophet. No, not so. Peter says, God resists the proud and He gives grace to the humble. God is with you at all times. In verse 8, we read the impact of God sending His messenger to Daniel, combined with his time of fasting and prayer, overwhelms Daniel physically. Now, he's already weak, but as this angel appears to Daniel, this is a bit for him too. He's exhausted, he's alone, he has no strength, he's totally spent. Daniel is now overwhelmed with a great sense of frailty. There are times in our life when we're going through a storm when God wants you to pray, and it's at times when you think, I don't think I can get through this. Particularly if you're getting serious and you're fasting, you think, you know, I'm struggling here. Guess what? That's what happens when you go to battle. You know, when soldiers went to war in World War I and World War II, they weren't out there having tea and coffee, you know, and biscuits. Oh, 10 o'clock, stop, tea and biscuits, time for a break. They were weary, without sleep. As a matter of fact, I'm reading a book called Blitzed, and the Nazis use amphetamines in the nation. That's where our meth problem was born, in Germany. And they would take tablets, a couple of tablets every day, and that's why the storm or the fast war, the blitzkrieg occurred, because they were loaded on meth. They didn't need sleep for a couple of weeks. And they would charge off into battle, seemingly unbeatable. But you and I, when we're going through a time of spiritual battle, we get weary. Daniel is. He has a great sense of frailty. You know, but that's, why does God allow that? Because you see, when we're frail is when we now become absolutely dependent upon God. It's a great place to be in battle. It's the reverse of the world where we're pumped up and, you know, loaded with this and that and really strong in ourselves. No, it's when we get to our weakest point, we become the most powerful. Paul said that about the thorn in his flesh. At his weakest points, in his weaknesses, Christ became the strongest. Is that you this morning? Perhaps you're the only believer in your family, or God has laid a burden on your heart for someone. Your son, your daughter, your mum, your dad, your wife, or your husband, your friend. You have witnessed to them. You have prayed for them. You've cried out to God for them. Maybe even fasted, and today, this morning, you too are exhausted because nothing seems to have changed. It's all gone. You're out of gas. You're dry. God has a message for you today. Because in verse 10, look what happens. Suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. Now Daniel is flat. But look what happens. A hand reaches out and touches Daniel as he lay there flat on the ground, face down, exhausted. But notice, Daniel starts to raise himself from the ground. He just can't get on or off his hands and knees, so he's on all fours. That's the best that he can do. And the messenger said to him, "Oh, Daniel," notice what he says, especially what he says first of all to Daniel. "Oh, Daniel, man, greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you." While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. You see, the word of God is that which brings you back to your feet. Pastor Israel is going to teach through Ephesians. You'll get to that. We'll touch on it a bit today. When you get to battle, Paul says, "I want you to stand and remain standing in the battle." But you see, you can't stand in your own strength. When you get to the place of exhaustion with your husband, with your wife, with your marriage, with your child, with your son, with your boss at work, with whatever's going on, "God, I can't do this." But as you go to the Word, God will give you a scripture. He'll touch you with His Word. And then you'll stir within you and you'll be able to stand in prayer and stand to fight the conflict. First point, he said, you are greatly beloved. What that means literally is you are greatly loved. You are loved greatly. We, the church, need to be told over and over and over that God loves us. You know why? Because 5 minutes later, 10 minutes later, tonight, sometime something will happen. You go, does God love me? Why am I going through this? Look at the way my husband treats me. What my wife said. Look what my son's doing. Does God love me? We're always thinking that he doesn't love us. That's why the Bible says over and over and over that he loves you. So the first thing that Daniel needs to hear, it's not about the vision. It's not about this is going to happen and that's going to happen. The first thing the angel says to Daniel, he says, you're a man greatly beloved. You know, so to our wives, men. For it says in Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Why? Because the wives need to know every day that they're loved. That's our job. When we miss a day, miss a period, we're missing. God doesn't miss out on the church. And it's interesting that God, through Paul, uses this very verse to talk about how we're to love our wives to explain how much he loves, Christ loves us. He's always telling us he loves us. Because we're wired that way. Women are wired that way. The messenger sent by God to Daniel tells Daniel he is beloved, which literally means greatly loved. For the love of Christ controls us, Paul says. It empowers us. Having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. God in heaven this morning, if you hear nothing else this morning, wants you to hear. Because often you don't believe it. You don't think it. Maybe you're sitting here today, you know, I don't believe it. Doesn't love me. It loves everyone. It can't love me. No, you need to hear God's telling you this morning. He wants you to hear that he loves you personally. The Bible says, for God so loved the world. We had a cross up here. That's how much he loves you. He died on the cross for you. We sang a song that Christ suffered and loved us for us. Even when we're his enemies. And that's what the Bible says. It's out of Romans. You see, God loves you even when you don't think he loves you. And you don't care. He wants to tell you that he loves you. Now, with your faults and with your weaknesses, and for some of you who this morning maybe have sinned against him this week, maybe you really blew it and you know, I am sinning. I am living in sin. I am doing things that I know are wrong. And you've done things that you should never have done. We can't understand it. But to you especially, God says this morning, he wants you to know that his love for you now is unchanged. It's greatly loved. For God so loved the world was full of sin. He still loved us while we're sinners. God's love for you doesn't change. Can you hear his voice speaking to you this morning? When the prodigal son left his father and went off and wasted his inheritance with sinful living, the prodigal father's love was as great when his son was home as it was when he was away living righteously. Riotously, not righteously. His love didn't waver. He said, oh, now you're gone, I don't love you. God's love is overwhelming. The thing that should turn us to want to live for him is knowing that he loves us even when we're blowing it. It should want us to not hurt him and not treat his love cheaply. More strength comes to Daniel. He stands, he's weak, but he's standing. Verse 12. Then he said to me, second thing he says, do not fear, Daniel. For from the first day, underline that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I've come because of your words. The second thing that Daniel was told is, fear not. Well, why would the angel bother to say that? Oh, it's just a greeting we do in angel world. First thing we always say is fear not. No, fear not because Daniel was fearful. He He said, from the first day that you did set your heart to chasten yourself, your words were heard and I'm come. I'm the answer. Why did the messenger sent by God say to Daniel, fear not? Because Daniel was fearful of what was happening to his people. He was greatly troubled by so few returning home and the conflict they were having. 3 weeks Daniel had been praying and fasting. He hadn't heard from God. Why did the angel say, fear not? But also remember, Daniel had been praying and fasting for this whole period of time. Was Daniel the great man of God? He's like us, he's flesh and blood. Was he fearful that God wasn't listening this time? That this time, it's been 3 weeks, Lord. I'm fasting now. I need an answer. God, are you not going to answer me? You see, you and I fear this. And that's why when you'll see if you go through the Gospels how many times Jesus' first words to his disciples were, fear not. Because we're always scared. We're scared that God's not with us. We're scared that God doesn't love us. We're scared that he's not going to bring us through. We're scared that God's going to fail us. But notice the messenger sent from God noted his words besides, be fear not. He said, from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. I've come because of your words. I've been sent. God hears and answers prayer. You need to know that. God hears and answers prayer. Second point, we're to not live in fear. Joshua became fearful. The mighty man Joshua, the man who took over from Moses. I mean, he's the great warrior. But at Ai, they had a battle, and I think they lost for the first time. 32 or 28 men died in this little city when they'd conquered the mighty Jericho. But they'd gone and fought in their own strength. And Joshua is now his gun-shy. He says, well, I failed before. Well, what's to stop me from failing again? Isn't that how we work? Well, I failed once. I'll probably fail again. So the Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid nor be dismayed. Why? Because Joshua was scared and he was dismayed. Take all the people of war with you. Arise, go up to Ai. See, I've given you into the hand of the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land. You shall do to Ai and its king as you did to Jericho and its king, only its spoil and its cattle. You shall take as booty for yourselves, lay an ambush for the city behind it. You see, this time Joshua was told, don't be scared. Just do what I say this time. Don't wing it. The moment you try and fix your husband, fix your marriage, fix your wife, fix your son, fix your daughter, fix your boss, fix your situation, yourself, people will die. People will suffer. Ai was a classic example of, well, we can take this joint, just send a few of us up there, and people died. There are times in our lives we fall subject to fears. Fears where we've failed once before like Joshua. Fear when led by God, we come to a vast ocean before us and an army behind us like Moses. Well, this is great. Look, you land us. Look, I got an ocean in front of me, a sea. I got the army behind me. Really good, Lord. Do you think Moses was just flicking the old braces around? Oh, everything's cool. And he's been in the will of God. God's led him to this place. You see, God sometimes will lead you to a situation that appears as a no-win situation. Stand and see the salvation of the Lord. You need to wait. If God's led you there, he will get you across the ocean. Verse 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. This is the messenger is saying to Daniel. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the king of Persia. Now I've come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision refers to many days yet to come. Why the delay? It's been 3 weeks. Daniel, you notice Daniel didn't go, well, if you heard the first time, what's the deal? 3 weeks. Come on. I mean, if you said you heard the first time, you would say, well, where you been? See, you and I, third point, need to realize prayer is a battleground. We're talking serious. There had been resistance. The angel had run into another principality and power, a prince who was the head fallen angel over the area of Persia, and he had stopped. He said, you're not going to go and see Daniel. And there was a war on between the angelic beings. And not until Michael turned up, who outranked the other prince of Persia, could this angel of the Lord come to Daniel. And the angel says to him, I've got another battle waiting for me. The prince of Grecia, when I leave you, Daniel, the Medo-Persian Empire, still had 200 years to run, yet before the rise of the Grecians. I think that Satan was out to fight what God wanted to do. That's what he does. You forget, Satan doesn't want your husband, your son, your wife, your daughter to come to Christ. He's not going to, I was praying, that'll be nice. Go ahead. As soon as you go to war in prayer, it's on. And he is going to resist you and fight you. That's why Paul writes, finally, in Ephesians 5, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Remember that? In the Lord. And in the power of His might, put on the whole armor of God. Why? Because we're soldiers in a battle. The battle is not a physical one. It's a spiritual one. You need to wear this armor, because otherwise he'll take you out. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, for we do not wrestle, that's hand-to-hand combat, against flesh and blood. It's not the person that you attack. The moment you take attack against a person in a conflict, you're going to lose, because it's not God's way and it's not the person. There's a spiritual entity that's causing the problem. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rules of the darkness. They're all ranks, generals, colonels, privates, of fallen angels, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, Paul says, therefore, take up the whole armor. And you know, in Ephesians, we put this armor on once. You know why? Because from the moment you become born again as a Christian, until you go to be with the Lord, you're at war. There's no rest. That's why if you peel off from reading the Bible, peel off from praying, you're gone. Just, you won't notice it, but the enemy will begin and he'll get a foothold, and the next minute, marriage, violence, breakdown, relationships, problems happening. Because Peter says, is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. These are words that speak of battle, Paul wrote. Conflict and prayer is where we go to battle. It's a great thing. Because I'm a slow learner in the sense of this. But over the years now, in situations that appear to me to be tangible, mechanical, men think that way, just things like work and rosters and the bank or whatever, we think, I'll just sort it. No. It's a spiritual battle. You take it to prayer. Your son's having a difficult time at school. They have a difficult teacher. Or as a teacher, you have a difficult headmaster, if they still call them that, principal. You have a situation going on in your university. You have a situation going on in your marriage. What it is, it's a spiritual battle. Why? Because you're a Christian. And the moment you became a Christian, war broke out. You're a soldier in armor. But if you go to prayer, the Bible says you will always win. You will always win. Verse 14, now I've come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the last days, for the vision refers to many days. We'll see that in chapters 11 and 12 later on. When he had spoken such words to me, I turned my face toward the ground and became speechless. And suddenly one having like the likeness of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke, saying to him who stood before me, my Lord, because of the vision, my sorrows have overwhelmed me, and I have retained no strength. Daniel again is in conflict in the spiritual battle. He says, I'm struggling here. For how can the servant of my Lord talk with you, my Lord? As for me, no strength remains in me now, nor is any breath left in me. Then again, the one having the likeness of a man touched me and strengthened me. And notice what he said. Oh, man, greatly beloved. He said it before, didn't he? Why does he say it again? Daniel, you're struggling. Listen, God loves you. We need to rest in his love. Isn't that what parents say to kids when they're going through a difficult time? A mum or a dad. So, all right, son, dad loves you. Mum loves you. It's what sits behind. It's the strength. It's like, don't worry, it's all good. And then he says, fear not, peace be to you. Be strong, yes, be strong. Daniel was struggling. Remember we mentioned before about you who this morning, like Daniel, are spent. This is the fifth and final touch of God on Daniel. Don't fear. Be strong. Be strong, Daniel says. I was strengthened. Speak, Lord. You have strengthened me. When Job was broken in body and spirit, he testified, will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. Job knew God would put strength in him. David said, whom shall I fear the Lord? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? David said, the Lord is their strength, and he is the saving strength of his anointed. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless the people with his peace. Moses, a man of prayer and faith during a time of struggling, said, the Lord is my strength and my song, and he's become my salvation. Isaiah said, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. There are times in the heat of spiritual battle when you're praying and you begin to struggle. It is at that time you can call upon the Lord, as I said before, and ask him to strengthen you yet again. Lord, help me with my husband. Lord, help me with my wife. Help me with my son. Lord, let me know. Lord, help me through this moment. I'm because we are weak. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. All of God, but all man. He says, Lord, if there's any other way. He prayed it three times. Then after he finished praying, so much was the struggle as a man that the Lord sent, what? An angel to minister to him. It was tough. You see, you and I think that our lives and what happens in our families is just going to flow along beautifully. No. We're in a conflict. And Daniel is assured this time that God is in control. He says, peace, Daniel. All the time. Hear the angel's words to Daniel to assure him of this truth. And he said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be to you. Be strong. Yes, be strong. So when he had spoken to me, I was strengthened. He said, let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. Fourth and final point. Our human weakness is something that often causes us to give up. Peter, James, and John in the Garden of Gethsemane. Did you think that when Jesus said, could you just pray for me for 1 hour? They said, ah, come on. I'm just going to have a doze over here for a minute. No, they wanted to stay awake. They wanted to pray. And he comes back, and couldn't you not, you know, stay with me 1 hour? Oh, Lord. And he goes away. They wanted The spirit is willing, but what? Flesh is weak. You see, maybe you are saying, well, I've prayed and nothing's happened. I'm giving up. You see, this passage in John and Daniel 10, God wants you to know that when you pray, something always happens. It's a battle. God is listening and hearing our praying. And God will answer your prayer. What you got to do is not give up. Imagine Daniel first 7 days said, I've done this for 7 days. I'm finishing. Or he did it after 14 days. I mean, 2 weeks I've been doing this, fasting and praying. I'm done. Or 1 day short of 3 weeks, he says, I quit. He didn't. No, because Daniel says, I ain't stopping until you answer me. Habakkuk did the same. You've got to do the same. You've got to. How many prayer answers are sitting, waiting in the heavenlies, and people walked away? When the answer was on its way, the first word you prayed. As the worship team comes forward, I want to wrap this up now. What happened to Daniel is available for all of us. That's why this is the living Word of God. You see, the other thing in prayer that Daniel wanted to know, and God said, I'll let you, he wanted him to understand. To understand what? The complexities of the vision? No. To understand that God's in control, God's plan is going on, trust him. So that you understand. Keith, I'm fearful about the future. Maybe that's you. I'm fearful for the one whom I'm praying for because they are lost. Maybe they're under an addiction. Maybe their behavior is just so far. Well, Paul would stand up and say, hey, if I can get saved, and remember, he was the chief of sinners. Anyone can get saved. So, just remember that. But you need to hear, if you're fearful this morning, one, that you are greatly beloved. What does that mean? In Webster's Dictionary, it says, you are loved greatly. Second thing, fear not. Fear is the opposite to faith. When you fear, you go, oh God, I don't know about this. I don't know if you're going to come through. I don't know if I pray that you're going to answer this prayer. Oh Lord, I'm worrying. And that's why Wednesday we're going to deal with worry, because worry is a sin along with fear. It's saying, God, you're not that great. You're not that powerful. I don't think you can fix this little problem that I have. And the third thing that God wants you to hear is peace. Peace be unto you. Because when you settle under the strength and knowledge of God's working, hearing and answering your prayer, you can have peace. And Paul and Silas were locked in jail. Locked. They still had peace. We're in a major battle for souls. The time is short. Jesus is about to come and return and take his church. The world in which we know it, it's primed for a one world nation government. A cashless society is just but a step away. All these things prophesied. A war is going to break out, the North. Is going to come down and attack Israel. And There's going to come a person who will be received by the Jews as the Messiah, but he'll be a fake. You and I are living in the time of grace. We're here not for fun. We're here to pray and fast because we have a job to do. Don't stop praying for those whom God has laid upon your heart. Don't stop. God heard your very first word of that prayer when you prayed it the first time. He is answering that prayer. There's conflict in the heavenlies, so don't stop praying. He will give you strength. How? Let the word of the Lord touch you like the angel of the Lord touched Daniel. Don't be fearful of the future. Why? God's got it all. It's going absolutely according to plan. To the hour. And finally, know this and know this again. You are greatly beloved. Isn't that amazing grace? How can God love me? No matter what I do, no matter how I stumble, no matter how many times I ignore Him, reject Him, and don't trust Him, His love for me never changes. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. If you're here today and you're struggling, don't quit. If you're here today and you don't know Christ and you'd like to be able to pray to Him and have Him hear you, you need to know Him. We can pray with you and give you a Bible, point you in the direction. Let's stand and worship the Lord.